Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Dr. B. Real, also known as Bob, and this is my review of his third chapter from his two-volume book called Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. In the previous chapter, Bob shared how he'd spent a year in gender studies class as a foreign exchange student studying in the United States in Los Angeles. We fast forward 16 years after Bob finished his gender studies class, and he was still identifying as a feminist back in Australia. He'd also not fully recognized what fourth-wave feminism was yet, but he did understand the hypocrisy of feminism and saw it as an attack on people from another gender and color, which he was part of. In 2016, he attended the Women's March in Australia because he believed in equality. He said that the event that he wanted to support was disorganized. There was no audio equipment there to help people hear what was being said also. So Bob decided to take some photos of the event, and one woman freaked out at him believing that he was a right-wing spy. Suddenly, he was surrounded by a group of obese women in their 40s, taking photos of him trying to single him out and intimidate him. He should have done what I did. The first thing I figured out about trying to photograph a feminist event is to make sure you look like a male feminist. I dressed really poorly in the most casual and tacky way and no one thought anything as I was filming and taking pictures at Slut Walk of all places. If you look unkempt, that helps too. But when I went to men's rights events, I would dress in normal ways. I even had a t-shirt on at that slut walk with a woman on it that said, "Don't mess with the redhead." Obviously red, because I understood that they were Marxists, and besides, no one actually got a good picture of me. There was only one photo of me out there, and they were criticizing the way I dressed, not understanding that I was dressed that way in disguise. This allowed me to access the whole event, and no one questioned or harassed me. Could I try that again? Sure, but I'd use a different camera in disguise. I guess Bob really didn't realize that male feminists need to look a certain way, instead of just thinking a certain way. I'll discuss more in just a moment, but let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW's Guide to Retiring on 200K in Southeast Asia. Luca Vendetti is the author. He left the West taking his savings with him and achieving his goal of retirement at the age of 33. The book shows you how you can easily do the same and easily create a passive monthly income covering your expenses in Southeast Asia. It's a great book for someone like Vention MGTOW. Instead of heading to Asia and feeling overwhelmed, he could have read this and known a little bit more about what he was getting himself into. Maybe you as a man were meant to be drinking dirty martinis on the beach, taking Polaroids of ladyboys, if that's what you're into. What have you actually got to lose except your slavery to the corporate veal fattening pens? Visit MGTOWbooks.com and use the promo code SANDMAN to get 10% off. Now available in four formats. PDF, Mobi for Kindle, EPUB and text-to-speech MP3. Anyways, now back to the Land Whale Bull Dyke Clown World Show. When Bob was at a women's march in Australia, it was populated by mostly young overweight women, under the age of 25, and he says they looked unbathed. That's about right, and what I saw at Slut Walk too. But Bob was horrified with his experience and he didn't know what feminists are going to be like going in. In the last chapter, he mentioned that he was 6'3" and athletic. That's not what a male feminist is supposed to look like. I don't know what he was wearing, but that's not what a thirsty male feminist trying to sleep with obese demonstrators looks like. He probably didn't look unkempt and tacky enough to avoid harassment. If Bob had worn a t-shirt that said, "This is what a male feminist looks like," with a skirt, then no one would have bothered him. The whole event demoralized them and they kept attacking the newly elected Trump back then. Bob had also been to war in Afghanistan and began wondering if any of the women and soy boys around him had actually ever been in a war zone or developing nation. He finally understood that his internal definition of feminism based on equality didn't match up with all the man-hating he was getting. That fourth-wave feminism wasn't about female empowerment, but that everything was the fault of Western men and that women were victims and they needed to be compensated for that. He also said there was an unattractive woman that mentioned that she'd been catcalled on the way to the march. Obviously, a woman that hard on the eyes would never have been catcalled, even by a half a dozen hungry male cats in her apartment. I suspect that her anger was not from being desired, but from not being desired, and she had cognitive dissonance and was completely delusional. Bob was hoping to see slogans like, "End the oppression of Islamic women," or "Stop female genital mutilation" at the event. I suspect that Western feminists don't see a problem with the way that Islam treats its women, because many of their men are blue-pilled simps, because women control such men by hiding their bodies. Bodies that are quite often bustling with fat under their burqas. Feminist women would love it if all Western women were fat, then they would have less competition. Western feminists are looking for love and attention, and no one wants to give it to them. Correction, incels actually want to give it to them, but they want Chad's instead. Anyway, that catcalling slogan woke up Bob, and when he got home that night, he got a message on his phone from someone anonymous saying, "I never thought I'd see you at a women's march." And when he asked who it was, they never responded. Bob says it must have been one of the women at the protest trying to gaslight him. In a way, whoever it was, they were saying, "I know who you are, but you don't know who I am." Today, he thanks the woman that tried to intimidate him at that march for basically waking him up to the truth. He's no longer on the left, and they lost an ally. When he was accused of being on the right, that's when he went and began listening to the right and realized they weren't as crazy and as self-destructive as the left. This kind of reminds me of the story of Dave Rubin. But Bob boils things down to one statement, and I quote, "Left-wing politics is intertwined with embracing emotion, anger, socialism, punishing the rich, glorifying the victim, and worshipping the church of feminism. Conversely, right-wing politics are intertwined with embracing reason, logic, values, a reward for hard work, equality and opportunity, and equity in social outcomes. There are extreme groups on both sides of politics. However, the fundamental issue within the West is that schools, politics, government departments, and the media are catastrophically dominated by an externally sponsored left, resulting in the gradual but measurable degradation of everything that democracy has achieved." Unquote. Basically, infiltration from the left trying to tear everything down. This is all part of critical theory. It was developed by the Frankfurt School back in the 1920s and 30s. They teach you that you don't argue with your opponent and win fair and square, but instead you silence and intimidate your opponents until they shut up and your voice is the only one that remains. Bob realizes at this point in the book that the left used to be the counterculture, and now they've become the cancel culture. They push for their own right to freedom of speech, but now that they have it, they want to take everyone else's right away. He says that fourth wave feminism was captured by this new version of left-wing politics. Now it's trying to undo the gains women made during second wave feminism with regards to carefree sex. Now they see sex as rape, while before they wanted sexual liberation. Obviously, it's just women that can't have sex with normal-looking men that are trying to prevent women that are able to attract a man from having orgasms too. They want to label all heterosexual sex as rape, because they're probably jealous of other women having kids while all they have is cats. It's at this point in the chapter that Bob says he's not alone in the way that he sees things. He brings up the documentary filmmaker Cassie J that made the film The Red Pill documentary, where she chose to meet up with men involved in the men's rights movement. He says that when she was recording them on camera, she wasn't listening to them, and instead she was only seeing her enemy and not actually hearing them. Most of the second half of the chapter, he's referencing her, and Cassie J mentions that one MRA told her to look outside at the world and understand that it was all built by men. She took that statement as an anti-woman offense instead of just a stated fact. Overweight feminists are unhappy with their lives, and they envy men. So they have to destroy our power so they can rule over the pile of rubble that remains. But it won't be long until strong, powerful men return, rebuild, and those same women that shame men demand those men help them. Half of our species is irrational and dragging the other half down. And the more power they gain, the worse it is for us. Cassie, when she heard that line about men building everything, she probably felt like there was a man attacking all women, and she took it as a personal attack, because of female-owned group preference. But I believe the jury is still out when it comes to how genuine Cassie J really is or was. Maybe she was blacklisted from the film industry because after she made that film, she hasn't done any others. Although she was also an actress and has done two small roles this year. Ironically, the men's rights activists from A Voice for Men were very similar to feminists. She could have actually found better examples. A lot of the stuff that Bob told me about badly behaved feminists was also observed in that group by myself and many others. I considered myself a men's rights activist, and then all the monkey business and infighting convinced me that I wasn't, and instead I focused on MGTOW content only. I guess it's wonderful that Bob wrote his book after he failed to blend in with all the blubber in Australia's Women's March in 2016. Also, when people doxed me at that slut walk, before I thought one of the guys had actually figured out that I was in disguise from the t-shirt that I was wearing, saying not to mess with the redhead. The feminists were pissed, and the greatest irony was that they were shaming me for dressing up like one of them. That's how irrational they sound. But I obviously understand that they weren't being irrational. They were trying to make me look bad in the eyes of my listeners because that was the only course of action they had at that point. If I hadn't dressed up like one of them, they would have been suspicious and tried to kick me out of the event then and there, the way they tried with Bob. The best part of my experience was that I didn't actually have to say anything bad about the feminists during the slow walk. They just embarrassed themselves. All I'll say is the leader was too fat to walk in the slow walk. How ironic is that? And needed to be driven around in a slutmobile. You can't make this stuff up. It's gold, Jerry, gold. What's really sad is that feminism, fourth wave or otherwise, is a symptom of a very sick society. Women that don't receive attention become extremely negative, because life isn't going their way. Thus, they need to dump that negative energy onto society in a mass transference ritual. That's what feminism and its rituals like Slutwalk are all about. Male feminists tend to be bitter and jaded too, so female feminists probably don't yell at them because they don't want to deal with the wrath of soy. I'll let you guys read Cassie J's comments at the end of Chapter 3. Once again, the link to Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism is in the description, as well as the link to today's sponsor, the MGTOW's Guide to Retiring on 200K in Southeast Asia. Bob, this chapter was also great, but I wanted to learn more about your experience at the feminist rally. I would have gone to a few more of them for research if I were you, and that would have given you more material for this chapter in your book. I would have gone to more such events in Canada too, but they would have figured out who I was and chased me away or got violent for filming them and making them look bad just by showing the truth. When you can't compete as a human being with others, all you can do is try and change the rules of the game. If that doesn't work, then you have to shut the whole game down. As for successfully passing as Luke Soywalker at the feminist rally, the shame has to be strong with this one. Funnily enough, feminists thought that they could shame a man that dresses up as a passable male feminist. A man like that has no shame. That's why it works so well. If you manage to find that picture online, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Dr. B. Real for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that I dressed up like a male feminist during Slutwalk so that land whales wouldn't hit on and sit on me. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Gab, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the feminists from trying to take pictures of men in a feminist disguise away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.